Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the first ever episode of the Patriot Report. I'm your host, Matt Bowman. Got a great show for you today, a great first show. And we're going to go into it right about now. I've got a weekly rant for you. This is on the state of free speech in America. Also, we'll be talking a little later with Sarah Henry, spokesperson for the American Humanist Association. We'll be talking to her about that group's opposition to the Bladensburg, Maryland Peace Cross, a World War I memorial in Bladensburg, Maryland. Also, we're going to have a preview of the new Democrat-controlled House for you. We'll talk about what's on the agenda. And we'll also have a little comic relief for you, a little feature on the dimwit of the week. Who really was a loser this week? And we'll talk a little bit about the question of impeachment. What is impeachment and what happens when someone is impeached? And, of course, we'll take your phone calls at 323-870-4079 from anywhere in the U.S. or anywhere. 323-870-4079. So it's time for a weekly rant for you, right after my trigger warning here.
This is a trigger warning. If you are psychologically fragile, please move away from your viewing or listening device and into your safe space.
Run for cover.
And I want to welcome those of you who are listening online and listening on WBCQ, shortwave radio, commercial shortwave radio, the great voice of free speech up in Maine. So, here's what we're going to do. We're talking a little bit about the state of free speech in America, which I believe is quite poor. I mean, you can't say whatever you want to say anymore. Ask Alex Jones about this. The big controversial talker, of course, but for even suggesting that a Sandy Hook shooting might have been well orchestrated, like a false flag or a plot, he was yanked off a lot of the radio airwaves, a lot of his radio stations, and totally banned from Twitter, permanent ban. So, go figure. People don't want to hear that. They're getting offended, I guess, but life isn't easy, and everybody has an opinion.
Just get left out here!
And I can't totally begrudge him for his opinion there. Controversial? Yes. But not, I would say, totally something that you can't say. Now, personally, I myself have been threatened with violence merely for speaking my mind. I was banned from a website after it was alleged that I threatened someone with violence, which I didn't do. I just expressed my opinion on something, and somebody threatened me. But anyway, so on this show, you're going to get my unfiltered opinions and thoughts and news, unfiltered and uncensored. And if you don't agree, persuade me that I'm wrong, or you can just turn the radio off. Just turn the show off. And here's an out-of-left-field remark for you. The out-of-left-field part of this weekly rant. I want to know, does the government intimidate or otherwise silence those people whom they consider threats, legitimate threats to them? I think they do, and it's straight out of the novel 1984. That's not the year, that's the George Orwell novel, 1984. So if you've got something to say, you better watch your back.
Just get left out here!
And so we'd like to hear your opinion at 323-870-4079. Give me a call, 323-870-4079. And one more little rant for you here, I guess. Have you heard the new R&B song featuring Barack Obama? Yes, he's on the Billboard R&B charts. Song from the musical Hamilton. It's like a remix called One Last Time 44 Remix. Let's play a clip of that. Just a short clip. Here we go.
Though in reviewing the incidents of my administration, I am unconscious of intentional error, I'm nevertheless too sensible of my defects not to think it probable that I may have committed many errors.
Yeah, that's enough of that. That's totally making me sick, the way Hollywood and the well-to-do kind of cater to Obama and the Democrats. Oh, he was the greatest president in American history. Oh, he was great. Yeah, right. It makes me sick to my stomach. But that's a topic for another time. So, I think what we're going to do is we're going to do our interview that I recorded, I think, yesterday. This is Sarah Henry, a spokesperson for the American Humanist Association just outside of D.C., and we're talking to her about the Bladensburg, Maryland Peace Cross. The American Humanist Association has won a lawsuit against the town of Bladensburg, Maryland, against their Peace Cross, a World War I memorial, erected. It's in the shape of a cross, and they say it's on government property, and it's effectively a government endorsement of Christianity and the Establishment Clause of the Constitution, and the First Amendment doesn't permit that. Now, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals has agreed with them. So it's a big win for the American Humanist Association. But it was appealed to the United States Supreme Court, and they are going to hear the case. So let's talk a little bit with Sarah Henry, spokesperson for the American Humanist Association. Here she is. And welcome back to the Patriot Report. We're talking with Sarah Henry, spokesperson for the American Humanist Association in D.C. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, tell me briefly just a little bit about what the American Humanist Association does.
Sure. So we're a nonprofit headquartered here in D.C. We advocate for progressive values and equality specifically for non-religious communities in the country, so humanists, atheists, and freethinkers. We have a couple of different departments. We do some education work, some legal work, and some legislative work as well.
Okay, now I wanted to talk about this thing around the Peace Cross. As you know, the Peace Cross is a memorial to World War I veterans, I think, in Bladensburg, Maryland. It's in the shape of a cross, and the town does the maintenance on it. So why have you brought legal action against the town here of Bladensburg, Maryland?
Sure, so we chose to bring legal action against Bladensburg because the memorial is in violation of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the Constitution, which does, you know, prohibit the establishment of religion and protects the constitutional mandate of separation between church and state. So our plaintiffs, who are local residents, brought the case because the cross does endorse Christianity and appears as though the government of Bladensburg and Maryland is also endorsing that Christian action.
So basically, you're saying it endorses Christianity.
Yeah, a large Christian cross, and it is owned, maintained, and displayed by the local government, and so it does have the effect of advancing and endorsing Christianity.
Just to play devil's advocate here, some would say it's just a memorial to the veterans. What are you saying in reply to them?
Sure. And actually, I think we're very committed to ensuring that we do honor all veterans. One thing about this cross is that it was actually rededicated in 1985 and meant to honor all veterans of all wars, according to the commission at that time. And we feel that a Christian cross simply does not honor all veterans of all wars. I mean, we know that there are veterans and active service members of a vast spectrum of religious faiths, many of whom do not feel represented or honored by a cross.
I heard you won a big victory in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. I guess that's the D.C. area.
We did.
Richmond, Virginia, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So we won at that level, and the court declined to hear it en banc, and that was the point that the American Legion petitioned the Supreme Court.
And they're going to hear the case. What's going on with the case right now?
Yeah, so right now we're looking forward to oral arguments, which will be held on February 27th at the court here in D.C. Our opponents, the American Legion and the Maryland National Park and Planning Commission, filed their briefs in the case around the holiday, although the exact date is escaping me, and then we will be filing our response briefs in late January.
I'm no legal, but I'll be watching this case pretty closely. It seems interesting.
Yeah, I think all of the briefs have been interesting. It's such an important issue. Obviously, the separation between church and state and religious liberty is something that affects us all. And so I think even for people who are not especially inclined to read lengthy legal documents, the briefs are, available online, and they are pretty interesting.
I think what's at issue here is what exactly is a government endorsement of religion. So that's what you're talking about.
Right. So we're talking about government endorsing religion, and this cross does. So when the case was brought, we noted that maintenance of the monument has already cost the government $117,000 in taxpayer funds. And at this point, the government has also earmarked an additional $100,000 for further repairs to the cross and to the area. Besides the fact that they're using taxpayer money to pay for a symbol that is only representative of one faith, the cross is massive, and it sits in the middle of a highway sort of intersection. So it's clear that it's government property, given, that highways are government property. And
yeah,
it really sort of overwhelms the city of Bladensburg.
So it's a big thing there. It's like 40 feet high or something.
Yeah, it is 40 feet tall.
That's a big one. I wonder, would you be taking the same kind of legal action if the memorial was, like, say, in the shape of a Star of David? As you know, that's one of the main symbols of Judaism.
Right. So any symbol, any governmental favoritism towards one religion over another, or the vast spectrum of other religions, is blatantly unconstitutional, and we would oppose something that didn't represent the service of all veterans, yes.
So you'd oppose it in that case, too. So if people want to get in touch with the American Humanist Association on the issues or whatever else, what should they do? Where can they go?
Sure. So we love hearing from the community. You can reach us online at AmericanHumanist.org. Super simple. And you can learn more about our actions there. And you can also email us at AHA@AmericanHumanist.org. And we're happy to answer questions, respond to complaints in your area, anything we can do.
Well, this interview went pretty quickly. Thanks a lot. Sarah Henry, spokesperson for the American Humanist Association just outside of D.C. Thank you very much for being on the show today, Sarah.
Thanks again. Have a great one.
And that was Sarah Evans, a spokesperson for the American Humanist Association, on some of the legal issues surrounding the Bladensburg, Maryland Peace Cross and what the American Humanist Association is doing about it. There's a big case right now in the Supreme Court of the United States. We'll be watching that closely.
And we are back live on the Patriot Report. This is your host, Matt Boland. And we are airing right now on a Blog Talk Radio and also on WBTQ, commercial shortwave broadcaster from Monticello, Maine. And so we just heard from Sarah Henry of the American Humanist Association. And next up, we're going to have a preview of the new Democrat-controlled House. What's on the agenda for Nancy Pelosi and company this session? But first of all, I want to pose a question for you. What do you think about free speech and some of the issues around the state of free speech in America? Is it okay? Is it poor? What do you think? And you want to make your opinion known? I'm all ears. The call-in number is 323-870-4079. That's 323-870-4079. And we've got about maybe 43 minutes or so remaining in the show. We're doing this on January 7th. It's about 4:46 Eastern Time right now, New York time. One of the things I think about free speech, just to give you my opinion, is everybody seems to be watching everybody. You got to watch your back.
Did you ever have the feeling you're being watched? Look out there in the audience.
People!
A little bit of Bugs Bunny there for you. So I don't like the fact that you always have to watch your back, and you have to look over your shoulder sometimes if you express any kind of what could be described as a controversial or troublesome or offensive opinion.
Oh, yeah! Are you threatening me?
Pretty much Democrats on free speech right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are you threatening me?
I like my sound effects. So anyway, give me a call at 323-870-4079 to discuss the state of free speech in America or anything else that we're talking about today. That's 323-870-4079. I know you're out there, so give me a call. Anyway, next on the show, the Patriot Report, we're talking about the new Democrat-controlled House. What's on the agenda this session for Nancy Pelosi and the new majority? Well, it started already, the push for impeachment of the president, Donald Trump. They have to get a resolution, articles of impeachment, passed the full House, which I think is going to happen, unfortunately. But I think we'll get it passed the full House, and then what would happen next is an impeachment trial in the Senate, and all the senators will be on oath or affirmation. And you'll see a big showcase Senate trial in the United States Senate of President Donald Trump. Now, any resolution, like I said, will probably pass the House, in my opinion. But the Democrats totally do not have the votes in the Senate. They would need, like, at least a dozen Republicans to vote with them, which is not going to happen, probably. So it's dead on arrival there. They don't have the votes, and it's just a waste of time. But Democrats are trying it anyway, so. And on that one, I kind of think of them as...
You big dummy!
I mean, why would you do something that's just a waste of time like that? I guess that's the thing with them. So... Congressman Brad Sherman of California, a Democrat out of California, has already introduced articles of impeachment against President Trump on this past Thursday. I'm not sure what the content of the articles of impeachment actually were, but they seem to include an obstruction of justice charge. And briefly, as briefly as I can make it, let's talk about what impeachment actually is. And I need to get the file here, of course. So we're talking about impeachment here on the president. It's only happened two other times in American history. The first was with President Andrew Johnson in the 1800s. He was impeached and acquitted by just one vote. Close one, huh? And if you recall, back in the late 90s, President Bill Clinton was impeached on charges of lying to Congress and obstruction of justice in the Monica Lewinsky kind of case. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. Let's get back to work, he says. I could probably... That wasn't a great impersonation, but you know, I'm not here to do impersonations. Anyway, what impeachment really is bringing formal charges against a public official of criminal activity or wrongdoing. Now, the Constitution says, well, it doesn't say specifically what an impeachable offense is. It just says that the president and other officers may be impeached for, quote, high crimes and misdemeanors. And it doesn't define what those high crimes are, except it does say that bribery can be punished by impeachment. And also, and that's another story altogether. But what's going to happen if President Trump is impeached? What would happen is these articles of impeachment have already been forwarded to the Judiciary Committee, which is where they usually go. And they will investigate the charges and then vote on whether those charges have any merit. And if a simple majority of the Judiciary Committee, headed by Patrick Leahy, no, that's the Senate, sorry, if they say that those charges do have merit, if they vote that way, it goes to the full House, which can then, by a simple majority, forward those charges to the Senate in a trial. And the president would be able to interview witnesses, have lawyers for his defense. It would go like a formal trial. And so that's what would happen there. And you would need two-thirds of those present in the Senate to convict, which has never happened. Twice in American history, it's happened to a president, Andrew Johnson, in the 1800s, and William Jefferson Bill Clinton in 1999, I believe. And that was quite the showcase. And when the impeachment trial happens, if it happens, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court will be presiding. And in this case, that's the Honorable John Roberts, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And so we will see what happens there. There could be a Senate trial. I think there will be a Senate trial, but it's really dead on arrival. The Dems don't have the votes, so it's a waste of time. With that being said, let's go into a further preview of the Democratic-controlled House right now and what could see happen in the coming months. And of course, the call-in lines are open, 323-870-4079, 323-870-4079. We've got a couple of things to talk about here. So the first would be repeal of the big Trump tax cuts that went into effect a couple months ago. You know what the Democrats always say. We've got to share the wealth. What they really mean is redistribute the wealth. And translated, that's the whole Robin Hood kind of thing. We're taking money from the rich in order to give it to the poor. Which, well, it sounds good in theory, but because what happens is you lose any kind of incentive to work if you're just like a working class person. There's no incentive to work. You can just sit on your butt and get a paycheck, which happens to a lot of people, I guess. It's not really the greatest thing in the world, I would say. But really, that's what communism is. And socialism, communism, by any other name, Marxism, I think it was, not to sound like him, but Michael Savage who said, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and looks like a duck, well, guess what? It's a duck. About communism. So socialism, Marxism, communism, by any other name, it's the same thing. It's, and I'm quoting the Communist Manifesto here, from those with their ability to those according to their need. It's redistributing wealth and that doesn't quite work for me.
You big dummy.
So, and here's a quick joke for you on communism. From the late, great Ronald Reagan, he said, how do you tell a communist? Communist is somebody who reads something about reading Marx and understanding Marx. I don't tell a joke too well, but let's continue. Anyways, so that's going to be item one on the agenda. The next thing on the agenda is Medicare for all. You're not going to have any choice anymore in your doctors. Hey, now you too can have the government pick and choose what doctor you see and what health care plan you're on. And it's Obamacare 2.0.
Do yourself a favor and shut the hell up.
Pretty much what I think of that. I've had enough with Democrats talking about Medicare for all. And another thing that they talk about very often, ad nauseum to me, debt-free college for all. Hey, debt-free college is a great idea, but who's going to pay the teachers? You've got to have somebody pay the teachers, right? And that's another one that doesn't quite fly. I mean, so people are just going to get a free ride. Who's going to pay the teachers? Who's going to pay for all the educational expenses like computers and technology and everything? Well, they couldn't quite figure that one out, could they?
I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
And shout out to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or Ortez Castillo, I think.
On Twitter the other day, I must say, the woman has some moves. About the whole dancing thing, it's outrage where it doesn't need to be. I mean, seriously, don't we have more serious things to worry about than the whole, oh, this person's dancing in the house kind of thing? Seriously, let's get on something else, you know? But I want to hear your opinions at 323-870-4079.
That number again, 323-870-4079. We've got about maybe 25 minutes left. See if anybody wants to take it. I know I've got some friends on Facebook here that might want to listen to the show right now. So call me up, 323-870-4079. But moving right along with the new Democrat agenda, I found something that's been proposed by the Democrats right now called the Federal Jobs Guarantee Development Act of 2018 or 2019. And basically what they're saying is, well, everybody should have an opportunity to hold a job, which I agree with, but it looks a little to me like we're going to guarantee that you're going to get a job here. And that makes no sense whatsoever to me. And you're telling me maybe now that if an employee isn't that great at his job, can't do it too well, now he can't be fired? He's got a guaranteed job. Is that what you're saying? Not quite.
You big dummy!
It doesn't quite work for me again. A lot of things that the Democrats do not work for me.
Picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
Just like that. Anyways, so that seems to be the Democrat agenda right now. First of all, okay, it's never going to pass. So you can forget that one.
Do yourself a favor and shut the hell up.
And like I say, they're going to repeal the big, big-time Trump tax cuts, which have definitely helped a lot of people because redistribute, easy for me to say, that wealth, right? Medicare for all, you too can have the government pick your doctor. No choice for you. And debt-free college for all. But who pays the teachers? That's what I want to know. So we want to get your opinion on things that are going on. And our number here on the Patriot Report is 323-870-4079, 323-870-4079. And if anybody wants to talk to me, of course, I know you're out there, but let's hear from you. What do you think about what's going on? Like it, don't like it, hate it? 323-870-4079. 323-870-4079. I think we're going to go into a little bit of comic relief right now. A little bit comic. And let's go back to the question of impeachment. What exactly happens when a public official is impeached? What exactly might happen to President Trump? And what's the history behind the whole impeachment proceedings things? Well, first of all, it's time for a little bit of comedy. So, let's talk about a little comic relief for you. And I'll be right back in a second, people. Sorry. Hold on. Welcome back. Just had to get my file up here on my computer. And today we're talking about, in comic relief, our comic relief section, I'm talking about the New Year. New Year's resolutions for politicians. suggested New Year's resolutions for politicians, and yes, I made this list up myself. Let's talk about a few of them. First of all, Congressman Al Green, a Democrat from Texas. You see him sometimes on TV saying the whole, we've got to impeach President Trump thing. Congressman Al Green of Texas, a Democrat. Here's my 2019 New Year's resolution for him. To avoid confusion with singer Al Green, change name to Al Black. Al Black. How do you like that one? Al Black instead of Al Green. And you know Al Green was, let's stay together. And next up, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from California. One of the ugliest Democrats I've ever seen, but anyway, for Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, new year, new resolution. Here it is. One word, facelift. Get that facelift, Nancy. You don't look that great.
You need to shut the f*** up.
That's what you'd probably say to me. Next up, let's talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Democrat from New York. She's already said a couple of goofy things, so I'm not sure if she totally knows what she's talking about when she opens her big mouth.
You big dummy!
But here's my 2019 resolution for her. New Year's resolution, get a clue. Now on sale at CVS, $99.99. What a value. For Elizabeth Warren, that's a pretty good name. Democrat from Massachusetts, Senator from Massachusetts. 2019 might bring her a bunch of adventures, but I think she's going to be ending up saying, now what the heck is that DNA testing thing? So that's pretty much the statement for Senator Elizabeth Warren. Pocahontas? Now, where the heck is that DNA testing thing again?
Oh!
Burn. Burn, baby, burn. Next up, former presidential candidate and now senator from Utah, Senator Mitt Romney. Didn't quite work out for him, but again, that's a story for another day. Hey, Mitt, here's your New Year's resolution for 2019. Figure out where the hell I'm actually living. Is it Utah or Massachusetts? Make up your mind, buddy.
Did you ever have the feeling you're being watched? Look out there in the audience.
People!
And for former President Barack Obama, Democrat out of, well, who the hell really knows? Is it Illinois? Is it Hawaii? Is it somewhere else? More on that later. Here's your 2019, I should say, New Year's resolution, Mr. Obama. The former president, Barack Obama, says, pursue a new career in music. Hey, let's hit that Hamilton remix again. I think it's called One Last Time, 44 Remix. Yeah, it's on the Billboard charts. Here's a little snippet of it for you.
Though in reviewing the incidents of my administration, I am unconscious of intentional error, I'm nevertheless too sensible of my defects not to think it probable that I may have committed many errors.
The farewell address of George Washington there that Barack Obama was reciting. Hey, some people knew George Washington. You're no George Washington, Barack. Sorry.
Get off my phone, you little pinhead!
Anyways, so, seeing as he's going into a little bit of a musical career, it seems, here's his New Year's resolution. Pursue new career in music. Start band named Barack and the Deplorables. Or a secondary name, Barack in the Hard Place. Get it? Rock in the Hard Place. I know. Don't quit your day job.
Oh!
Anyway, we've got about 18 minutes remaining in the show. Call it 15, actually. We've got some things to talk about, so let's talk. 323-870-4079. 323-870-4079. If you want to get your opinions in, call up now because I'm doing this on a kind of a tape delay. Well, live right now at 5:11 p.m. Eastern Time, January 7th, 2019. But in a few days, it will air on pretty much tape delay on the shortwave home of free speech, WBCQ, Monticello, Maine. And you can pick that up in a couple of days. I'll keep you posted on exact date and time and frequency. But shout out to my friends in Monticello, Maine, Mr. Allen, WBCQ, Shortwave, the planet, they call it. Commercial shortwave radio out of Monticello, Maine. Thanks for agreeing to put on my show, to air my show. It'll be airing once every week, date and time to be confirmed. But I'll usually be recording on Mondays at, we're going to say, about 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's 1:30 Pacific. And, of course, 12:30 Alaska time. Anyway. So, make your plans accordingly. And join us here every Monday evening, 4:30 p.m. Like I say, don't be a dimwit.
I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
Trying to think, but nothing happens.
Speaking of dimwits, let's go into our Dimwit of the Week feature. Dimwit of the Week, yes, that's right. What was the most outrageous comment or action of the past week? Who really, really blew it?
You need to shut the f*** up.
So, I had a couple of nominees this week. But I think, looking at the nominees, the award this week is going to go to newly sworn-in Congresswoman. Let's see if I can pronounce this name without totally messing it up. Rashida Tlaib? I don't even know. I haven't heard it pronounced, really. But that's what I'm thinking, Tlaib. If anybody knows how to actually pronounce that, please call me, 323-870-4079. But she's going to get the inaugural Dimwit of the Week Award. Wish I had a fanfare here or something. But all I have is this. Dimwit of the Week Award goes to Rashida Tlaib, newly sworn-in Democrat from Michigan. And I don't know if you heard it. You probably have by now. But her comments on the record, public comments about President Trump. And I'm going to have to censor this one. But we're going to impeach the insert censored comment here.
You need to shut the f*** up.
Really? How rude. anyway, how rude. The thing I don't get with Democrats is why do they have to be so hypocritical? It's the pot calling the kettle black, in my opinion. Because they'll say with all the narratives that, oh, Trump's into locker room talk. He said this. He said that. Okay. So just because he says it, just because a Republican says things like that, it's totally wrong. But as long as a Democrat says it, no big deal. It's no big deal. Get over it, people. I don't know about that one. Because it would be nice to have some decorum, keep it a little bit clean. I mean, I know you're going to say what you have to say, but I think it would be a little bit better to maybe have a sense of decorum.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are you threatening me?
And I don't know. Does she actually talk to her kids that way? I don't know about you, but when I was a little bit younger, my father was totally old school. He was pretty old school. He used to, if he caught me saying anything like vulgar by any sense of the term, he would go at it. He would do the old wash my mouth out with soap. And so I learned never to do that again, at least not in front of
you, big dummy.
Maybe that's what kids need more of today. Maybe that's what she needs to have happen to her. Somebody wash her mouth out with soap. I'm not feeling that one. So, Rashida, congratulations. You get the inaugural Dimwit of the Week. Thanks for playing, everybody. And a special sound for that.
I picked the wrong week, quit sniffing glue.
Trying to think, but nothing happens.
Here you go. Anyways, we've got about maybe 8 minutes left, so let's get your call-ins now. 323-870-4079. 323-870-4079. We're live right now, but we won't be live later. We'll be airing on WBCQ sometime later this week. Shortwave radio out of Monticello, Maine. Hello to everybody up there, to Alan W. and my friends up there. Thanks for agreeing to put me on the air. Yeah, it costs money, but it's money well spent. So let's get it done here. 323-870-4079. 323-870-4079. And what I'm going to say, Patriot Nation, is, well, not a good idea to be a dimwit. So don't be a dimwit. Don't be a loser. Keep listening. And don't be a dimwit. Yeah, definitely. So we've been talking a little bit about the topics of the week. I had some comments on free speech. We heard from Sarah Henry, spokesperson for the American Humanist Association, on legal action regarding a peace cross in Bladensburg, Maryland, erected in memory of those who died in World War I. The association wants the memorial taken down. They say it's effectively a government endorsement of Christianity. The United States Supreme Court is set to hear the case. And you talked a little bit about Barack Obama's music debut. It's Barack in the Hard Place coming to a radio near you soon. I'm not sure how I feel about that one. Maybe he should just be quiet. Shut up.
You need to shut the f*** up.
I kind of think that the less we hear out of Barack Obama, the better we are. I don't want to hear his big mouth.
Do yourself a favor and shut the hell up.
So, we were talking about that. Impeachment articles already brought before the House Judiciary Committee by Congressman Brad Sherman of California. Way to go, buddy. I don't think so. We talked a little bit about what impeachment is. And Andrew Johnson was the first president ever impeached back in the 1800s, the era of Reconstruction. For you history buffs out there. And I told you that in Andrew Johnson's case, he was acquitted by only one single vote. It was a close one. And then the second president ever impeached, William Jefferson Bill Clinton, 1999, for perjury, lying to Congress, and obstruction of justice. He was acquitted by a good margin. But I think the vote on obstruction of justice was 50-50, as I remember. But you need two-thirds of those present to convict, so it didn't. No president has ever been
successfully convicted.
And, it hasn't happened since 1999. But it could happen again this year. We'll see what happens, of course. And so we were talking a little bit about impeachment and what might happen in the House, in the Senate. Repeal tax cuts, they're going to try that. Medicare for all, they're going to try that. Debt-free college for all, they're going to try that. And, of course, the impeachment. And so we were talking about that. Had a little comic relief for you. And so the federal government is still partially shut down. I don't think Trump's going to budge on the wall. Certainly no sign of that. Democrats don't really want to negotiate, though. So. And here's a fun fact about impeachment for you. A lot of people think that Richard Nixon resigned because he was impeached. He wasn't actually impeached. The charges were never brought. But the House of Representatives was looking into it at the time. I think there was a resolution on the table before the Judiciary Committee. He, well, not so famously said, you won't have Nixon to kick around anymore when he was governor of California. Well, he actually resigned before the impeachment charges could be brought to the Senate or to the House floor. So it was a moot point, and the resolution went away, really. But he was going to be impeached, and that was probably the main reason why he resigned. He knew he didn't have a chance. And another interesting fact about the Nixon era in impeachment, his vice president was Spiro Agnew, former governor of Maryland, but he had previously resigned due to a financial scandal. And he thought he was going to get caught up in that, so he thought the best idea was to resign. So, at the moment of Nixon's resignation, he had actually appointed, I think he was the Speaker of the House, he may have been the Majority Leader, Gerald Ford of Michigan, as acting vice president. Acting vice president is what they call him, until the next election. And he had been confirmed by the Senate. And so Gerald Ford was acting vice president at the time of Richard Nixon's resignation. So that's how he ascended to be acting president of the United States in 1973, I believe, and it was all a result of the Watergate scandal. I'll have that for another time. Watergate, Nixon, Ford, everything like that. It was a mess, I hear. But that's American history for that. Sometimes we get in messes, but we pull ourselves out of them, don't we? Cool little history part for you there. Hey, we have about maybe a minute or two left in the show, so I want to thank everybody for listening to the Patriot Report, this first episode. I think it went pretty well today. And next week, we'll be back again with another episode. And, of course, we'll be airing tape delay style on WBCQ, Shortwave Radio, Monticello, Maine. Hello to Alan W. and everybody up there. Thanks for airing me. And so we had a good conversation here, a good chat. And right now, I guess Elvis is about to leave the building.
Elvis has left the building.
So let's hit the theme music and say thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for listening. This is Matt Bowen, and this has been the Patriot Report on WBC. Catch you next week. Don't be a dimwit. Come on.